man, a carpenter with healing in his hands. They saw him calm the sea and heal a dying man. They saw, but could they really understand? They could not. They could not. Though they tried, they could not. He was just a simple carpenter with healing in his hands. But could they really understand? They could not. They listened to the teachings that they heard. They wondered at the mystery of his words. They wondered what he meant about a father's plan. They heard, but could they really understand? They could not. They could not. About the Father's plan, but could they really understand? They could not. Finally, upon a rugged cross, they killed the man who would not suffer loss. And when at last they took what willingly he gave, he died. But could they keep him in the grave? Could they keep him in the grave? They could not. They could not. Praise God, but they could not. And at last they took from him what willingly he gave. Could they keep him in the grave? Could they keep him in the grave? Could they keep him in the grave? They could not. They could.
Thank you, Laquita. I appreciate that. Aren't you glad that we serve a miracle-working God?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me, if you would, out of the respect for God's Word, as we read from the Scripture this morning? I invite your attention to 2 Kings chapter number 7, and I'm going to begin to read in verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter number 7, as we begin to read in number 1, follow along with me in the scripture, if you will, please. If you do not have a copy of God's Word, there should be one under the chair in front of you. Please utilize that while you're here this morning. We just ask that you put it back so somebody else can use it next time. Let's follow me, if you would, please. 2 Kings chapter 7, beginning in verse number 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord whose name, whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, 'Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?' And he said, 'Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof.' And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then a famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore, come and let us fall under the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. But if they kill us, we shall but die.'" Pray with me, if you would, please. Heavenly Father, as we consider your word this morning, I pray, dear God, that the power of the Holy Spirit would be upon me today. Lord, that would fill the ears of the listeners today, that they might have spirit-filled listening. Dear God, that they would hear what is preached. Lord, that they would I would be able to communicate to them this message this morning from your word. Dear God, that we might have an understanding from the scripture of how to live and how we ought to conduct ourselves as children of God. Help us today, Lord. Forgive us of our sins. Help us, Lord, if there's anybody within the sound of my voice today who does not know me as does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, dear God, that they might come to know him in fullness of salvation today. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you very much, and be seated if you would, please. I have titled my message this morning, "Don't Just Sit There." Don't just sit there. Let me help you to understand what is happening here in the book of 2 Kings in chapter number 7. The children of God are in the midst of a famine. The city of Samaria is besieged by the Syrian army. It is a awful situation that is taking place there in the city of Samaria. It is so severe, according to chapter number 6, it is so severe that the children of Israel have been reduced to cannibalism. They are so besieged by the Syrian army that no food is entering into the city. No one is entering. No one is leaving, because the Syrian army is completely encamped about the city of Samaria. There is nothing at all that the people can do. It is an awful situation. And it's interesting that when God moves in a situation, when there are dilemmas in this world, many times he uses the least of people to accomplish whatever it is that he wants to do. So that tells me that there is no excuse for God's children not being involved in God's work. We understand, as we look at the scripture here, he is not working to solve this situation through the king. The king is at a loss. Elisha comes before the king there in Samaria, the city of Samaria, and he announces good news to this particular city. Notice what he says. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." If there's anything that you and I need to hear today, in 2018, May 6th, is we need to hear the word of the Lord. We need to hear from God. We need to hear His answer to the dilemmas of life. We need to hear what it is that God is saying about us and to us so that we might accomplish the things that God would have us to accomplish in this life. Because the reality is that sometimes our dilemma in life, our predicament, can seem like it is hopeless. And I want you to understand, for the child of God this morning, there is no such thing as hopeless. Because we have the Lord God. He wants to intervene in our life. He wants to perform a miracle. He wants to do something perhaps that has never been accomplished before. He is a God of unlimited resources. He is a God of unlimited miracles. There is not anything that our great God cannot do. Listen to what I'm saying this morning. God has your back. God wants to help you. God wants to encourage you. God wants to bolster you. And I believe He will do that today if we will but hear the word of the Lord. So as He comes to us, He says, "Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel." A shekel is not very much. God is predicting through His prophet Elisha prosperity once again for the city of Samaria. He is prophesying that within 24 hours, God is going to deliver this city. He also goes on to say that for two measures of barley should also be sold in the gate for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Now, these people are so entrenched in what is happening in the city, it is difficult for them to receive good news. Notice what happens here in verse number 2. Then a lord, this is an aide of the king. This is somebody who has the king's ear, somebody who has the king's attention, somebody that the king relies upon. Notice what it says. Then a lord of whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" How is he responding? He is not responding in faith. He is responding in criticism. He is responding in doubt, which is the opposite of faith. And if we're ever going to overcome the circumstances that are in our life on a daily basis, we are going to have faith. We are going to have to move forward in faith. But it is a terrible situation. There is no city, there is no food in the city of Samaria. People are dropping over dead from lack of food. They are literally starving to death. And the man of God is sent by God to them to give them the message, "You've only got 24 hours to wait. God is going to deliver this city. God is going to do something wonderful. God is going to do something that you can't even imagine. There is going to be food aplenty within 24 hours. And this aide to the king mocks what the man of God says. And notice how the man of God responds to what he says there in the latter part of verse number two. And he said, this is Elisha speaking, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." God is going to do something miraculous. And he's not choosing a wealthy person to work through. He is going to work through the least in his kingdom to accomplish his purposes. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful idea here this morning. There is no one any more despised to the Jewish people than a leprous person. They do not want to be around a leprous person. Well, there's not just one. There are four of them. We see them here in verse number 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die?" Now think about this for just a moment. They are sitting at the entering in of the gate because they are not welcome in the city of Samaria because of their disease. They have leprosy. They are not considered even human at this point. The people in the city of Samaria do not want them within the confines of the city. They are rejects. They are the worst of the worst. I mean, these aren't just beggars. These are people that have a disease that can take your life. There is no known cure in this day for leprosy in the city of Samaria. Unless God performs a miracle, these people, these four men, are going to die of their disease. Now they begin to look around. They've got a conundrum. They've got three options. These are the three options. We can enter the city. The people hate us. They'll probably kill us instantly if we try to enter the city. We're sure to die if we enter into the city. These people have resorted to cannibalism. If it were possible, they would probably eat them. The people of the city are so desperate. So this is not a viable option to enter into the city. So they say, door number one, no, that's not going to work. The second option is, we can just sit here until we die. Same result. If they enter into the city, they'll surely die. If they stay where they are, they will surely die. There's one other option, and it is not a good option. That option is to fall onto the Syrian army, basically to surrender to the Syrian army. Notice what they say. Notice what they say here. Let us fall unto the host, verse number 4. Let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they shall save us alive, we shall live. In other words, it's a remote possibility, but it's the only possibility that has any hope whatsoever. Now, notice what they go on to say. And even if they kill us, we get the same result. We're going to die either way. If we go into the city, we're going to die. If we sit here, we're going to die. If we go to the Syrian army, there's a strong possibility that we may die. But if God is gracious, if God is good to us, we will live. We will live. You see the desperation of these four men? You see the desperation that they have. So they decide that by faith they are going to launch out. They are going to approach the Syrian army. They are going to surrender to the Syrian army with the slight hope that possibly they might bring them into the camp, they might feed them, and that they might live. Sometimes we face difficulty in our Christian experience, in our Christian walk, and sometimes there doesn't seem to be very good options, but I want you to know that faith is always available. If we will march forward in faith, God will honor us, God will take care of us, God will do the incredible. So we have to understand, we have to realize that God is interested in the situation that is going forth. And the man of God comes and he prophesies to the king, 24 hours from now, there's going to be prosperity in the city of Samaria. It is met with laughter. It is met with scorn. How in the world can this happen? Well, it's obvious God's not going to use the king. It's obvious God's not going to use this lieutenant in what he is going to do. But he searches for some men that will do what nobody else will do. And here they are. They are at the entering in of the gate. They are these four leprous men. They have nothing to offer, nothing whatsoever. And you sometimes might think in your life, I don't have anything to offer to Almighty God. But let me tell you something. If you'll give yourself to Jesus Christ, God will take your life and He will use you to His honor and His glory. He will do great and wondrous things through you that you could never accomplish yourself because of who He is. He is the Lord God. He loves you. He cares about you. He is in your court, and all He's waiting for you to do is to follow Him by faith. Now, faith is not something we can see. Faith is not something that we can just cause to happen. We must follow the Lord. We must step out on faith. And sometimes our steps out in faith come from desperation. Let me ask you a question. When you came to Jesus Christ, were you desperate? I was desperate when I came to Jesus Christ. I'd lost a brother in a tragic car accident. I didn't know which way was up. God had been working in my life. God had been ministering to me through this church, this very church that I now pastor. God wanted to take my life. He wanted to use it to His honor and glory. Now, back in those days, 53 years ago, if you'd ever told me someday you'll be the pastor of the Berean Baptist Church, I would have told you, you are nuts. You are Looney Tunes. But let me tell you something. God can do anything. God can do anything He desires. And these four leprous men come up with this plan, this idea, and understand that when God saves a city, when God saves a nation, it's not always through leadership. Sometimes it's through laity. Sometimes it's through the person sitting in the pew. I believe a nation can be saved by a grassroots movement. I believe in our last presidential election, we saw a grassroots movement that went to the polls and stopped a Jezebel from being elected president of the United States. God is able to do anything, and sometimes it takes a grassroots movement. God wants to get into the pew. God wants to get into your heart. He wants to get into your life. He wants to do something incredible. He wants to raise you up. He wants to make a leader out of you. He wants you to lead a movement. And so God, help us to understand what He can do. Now let me show you what happened when these men moved forward in faith. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come into the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of the chariots and a noise of the horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and they fled in the twilight, and they left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and they fled for their life. Is that not incredible? God set up a speaker system there in that great surrounding. And those four men, as they were marching, I can't imagine that these four men were making much noise. They're rather timid. They don't know if they're going to live or not. They don't know if they're going to be put to death. I'm sure they're not trying to raise a ruckus. They just want to go in there and plead for their lives. And God amplifies that sound, and He puts fear in the hearts of the enemy. And let me help you to understand this morning, the enemy fears you more than you fear him. We must understand that today. We are not the minority. We are the majority because we have God on our side. And the answer is always the same. We must engage the enemy. God has called the Church of Jesus Christ to go out and to engage the enemy wherever it is found. Did not Jesus say that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church? Did Jesus not say that? Now think about that for just a moment. If the gates are not prevailing against the church, that means the church is in attack mode. We are storming the gates of hell. We are literally pulling souls out of the boundaries of hell. We are snatching them before they drop into hell. We are winning people to Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand that when dilemmas come in the church, it is always the greatest answer is to win people to Jesus Christ. That is what God wants us to do. And we have to understand that sometimes that comes out of the pew. Sometimes that comes out of the least of us to go and to win somebody to Jesus Christ. Now, it was not a great soul winner of the church that came and knocked on my door one day. It was not the pastor of Berean Baptist Church. It was not the associate of the Berean Baptist Church who came and knocked on my door one day. But it was a lady, just a lady, a pregnant woman, by the way, who was several months pregnant, who lived in an apartment above us, who came down those stairs, knocked on my mother and my door. We were living in an apartment, and she invited us to come to Berean Baptist Church. Edie Caldwell, she was having a discussion with God. If she was saying, Lord, you know those people won't want to come to church. You know they won't want to come. And the Lord kept telling her, you go down there, you knock on that door, and you invite those people to church. You might not have a pastor today. If Edie Caldwell hadn't have been obedient to the Holy Spirit. God does not always work through leadership. Sometimes He goes into the pew. Sometimes He gets the least of those in the pew. He gets them excited about serving God. And I want to tell you something, that when we came, because she invited us, it put a brand new energy in Edie Caldwell. She started witnessing to everything that moved. She started knocking on every door that she could. Why? Because it works. And sometimes we just need to get excited about the things of God. You say, Brother Don, don't you realize the era that we live in today? Nobody wants to hear the Word of God. I know. But we still need to tell them. We still need to take the precious news of the Lord Jesus Christ. We still need to knock on doors. We still need to talk to neighbors and acquaintances and co-workers and friends about Jesus Christ. Because we have a message that is worth hearing. It is the message of a risen Savior. They tried to hold Him in the grave, but they could not. Oh, I'm telling you, we serve a risen Savior this morning. We serve a Savior today who can do anything. So my message is to you this morning, don't just sit there. Get busy for Almighty God. Do what God is calling you to do. God wants to build a church. He still wants to do a great work here at 3800 Eubank Northeast, whether it's through me or through somebody else. God wants to do a great work on this corner. But we can't just sit there. You see, those four men, they came to a realization. There is no good option. If we go into the city, they'll kill us. If we just sit here, we'll starve to death. Let's engage the enemy. And that's always been the answer. Engage the enemy. Go out there into the highways, into the hedges, and compel people to come to church. Jesus told us to get people to the house of God. Jesus told us to be personal soul winners. And so we must take that to heart. We must realize that this morning, that God wants to do great and incredible things. Now, notice what happens with the lepers here in verse number 8. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and they did eat and they drank and they carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and they went and they hid it. And they came again and they entered into another tent and they carried thence also, and they went and hid it. And then they said one to another, "We do not well. We do not do well. This is a day of good tidings." Do you understand today that we are just as prosperous, those of us who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, as these four lepers were the day they went in there and they had all that bounty? They had all that food and all that gold and all that silver. We are just as prosperous as them. We are just as blessed as they are. And they said, "We do not well." This is good tidings. What good tidings does the child of God have? I'm on my way to heaven. Heaven is my home. We sang this song this morning. I'm going to fly away one of these days. I've got my reservation. One of these days, the rapture is going to happen. And I am out of here. I'm going to take wings. I'm going to go to flight. We have the best message anybody could ever hear. How can we just sit on that message and not share it with the world? We must. God implores us. We must share the good tidings. We must share the good news. Jesus is alive. Jesus died for my sins. He rose from the dead. He is at the right hand of the Father. One of these days I'm going to be there with Him. That is great and wonderful news. I must share it with others. I must tell others about Jesus Christ. The answer is always, always, always engage the enemy. Go out that door. Go out into the highways, into the hedges. Compel them to come to the house of Almighty God. Do you understand this morning, saved person? You cannot get any more saved than you are this very moment. God's not going to add to your salvation. He's not going to take away from it. You are saved eternally, forever and forever and forever and forever. Our responsibility is to give it away. Our responsibility is to take it to the masses. Our responsibility is to send missionaries around the world. And I don't know of another church anywhere that does as good of a job of that than the Berean Baptist Church. This year, Lord willing, we will raise $230,000 to send missionaries around the world to preach the gospel. But wait a minute. There's more to it than that. Jesus didn't just say go into the regions beyond. We've got to preach the word of God right here in our Jerusalem. This is our Jerusalem. If we have a responsibility to win this city, our Samaria, to Jesus Christ, we have to decide that we're going to be a help, that we're going to be an influence. We're going to see the city of Albuquerque come to Jesus. That's just as important as reaching people in Africa and the Orient. And it's all important, but we're supposed to do it all at the same time. You say, "Brother Don, that's a big job." Yes, it is. And that's why just a few people can't get it done. It's going to take all of us. It's going to take every one of us being involved, from the pastor all the way down to the least, everybody in the pew, understanding that God doesn't always work through leadership. Sometimes He works through the least of those. I'm going to tell you a personal story, and I hope you won't be offended. It was 1998. I'm a layperson here at Berean Baptist Church. My mother is dying. My stepfather is dying. I know this. And their health is to the point where they do not physically have the capacity to take care of one another anymore. My stepdad is about 5 years older than my mother. His health is depleted. She is in poor health. They just cannot care for one another's needs. So I felt like God wanted me to get involved in the situation. And so I talked to my mom, almost lost her at one point, and I knew she couldn't go back home. And I talked to the doctor. I said, "We've got to put her somewhere where she can have help, where she can have assistance." That happened. And my mother wanted me to to help her with her personal effects. And I said, well, Mom, I have no authority to do anything other than what you give to me. So she made me her power of attorney. She made all the necessary steps so that I can step in. I was able to step in because they had joint accounts and separate some of that, some of those funds out for my mother's care. And it was substantial. And I asked my mother, I said, you know, this is the first time in your life that you've ever had this kind of money. I said, what about tithing? And she says, I want to do that. So I wrote a check because it was a joint account. And I drove up out here. It was on, a Wednesday evening. And I had in my possession a check for $10,000. It was the tithe. And we had just finished up a mission conference. And if any of you know me, my heart is missions. And so I was going to give that money to missions. I drove up on the parking lot. I got out of the car. I had just driven up. The Holy Spirit said to me, the tithe is holy unto the Lord. I said, Lord, you're right. I took that check out. I wrote void on it because I'd already in the memo, I'd already put it was for missions. Next time I came to church, I had another check written for $10,000 to the ministry, for this time for tithe. I took it to Brother Powell, who was the pastor at that time, up in his office privately, and I handed it to him, and I said, this is my mother's tithe on her money. Henry nearly wept. He said, you'll never know how badly this is needed for this church. And I said, thank God. Thank God I did the right thing. God wants to do great and incredible things. Sometimes it might be through a widow, the widow's mite. Sometimes it might be like the widow at Zarephath, who just had enough meal, enough oil to make one more cake for her and her son to eat. And they were going to die. And the man of God says, bake me first. Truly, he was a Baptist. Make me first a cake. She did that. And for 3 years, every day she went back to that barrel. There was just enough for one more day. One more meal. And God sustained the widow and the son for 3 years, until the drought was over. God doesn't always work through leadership to do everything. Sometimes he reaches into the pew. Let me ask you a question. Do you have the faith to engage the enemy, to go out those doors, and to tell others about Jesus Christ? Because the reality is you rub shoulders with people every day that I'll never rub shoulders with. You come in contact on a daily basis with people that I will never know. Ryan might not ever know them. We may not know them unless they come through that door. But you rub shoulders with them on a daily basis. If you follow the story through, you'll find that they went back and they shared the blessing with the city of Samaria. They went and they told the king. The king's reaction was, it's a trap. The Syrians are trying to trap us so that they can swoop in on us and kill us. All the enemy had to do was just wait a few more days. They'd all been dead anyway. The king didn't recognize when God was working. Thank God for good counsel, who told him, well, just send a couple of men and some horses and just go over there and check it out. See what's going on. 24 hours from the time that Elisha had said, tomorrow, the famine's going to be lifted. There was prosperity in the city of Samaria. And that aid, who had mocked the man of God, who had said, if the windows of hope of heaven were to open, should such a thing be, he was the one chosen to carry out the order. The people were so excited about what was happening out there that as they fled the city, they literally trampled him to death. What's the application? There's always a price to pay when we refuse to follow Jesus Christ by faith. Whether it be our salvation, if we say to him, faith is not enough, faith in Jesus Christ is not enough, my friend, we will suffer eternal loss. Salvation is in him and him alone. Now, salvation will produce works. I believe that. The Bible says that. There's always a price to pay when we will not follow Jesus by faith. Somewhere, somehow, we will pay a price. It might be the loss of a reward eternally. It might be the loss of something we could have had here because we just simply would not follow him by faith. It is impossible without faith to please God. The answer is always faith. The answer is always engage the enemy. My question to you this morning, are you just going to sit here till you die? Or are you going to launch out by faith and let God help you to be part of the solution of God's church? Because the reality is, as you look around America today, there are churches that are dying by the hundreds. Buildings that used to be places of praise and worship, you see them all over America today. They're no longer churches. They're theaters. I saw one in Florida. That was an adult porn theater. God help us. Are we going to let God's work die? Or are we going to rise up? Are we going to say, I am going to be part of the solution, maybe even if I don't even understand it? I'm going to trust God. If you sit and do nothing, your church one day may vanish. Father, help us today. Help us to follow you by faith. Help us to understand that we all have skin in the game. And it's not just the preacher's job or the associate's job. It's not just the Sunday school teacher's job or the choir's job or whatever it might be. But God, it's my job. I'm a member of Berean Baptist Church. And I'm not just going to sit here and do nothing. I am going to work. I am going to serve. I'm going to help. I'm going to give. So that your work, the greatest work upon the face of the earth, can thrive and survive. Would you stand, please, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning and nobody looking around? Folks, America is in dire straits this morning. And I believe that the answer for America is in the churches of America. I believe that if our churches would get back to preaching the pure Word of God, unapologetically, understanding that the Satan is going to come after us, but determined that we're just not going to sit and do nothing. We are going to be part of the process. We are going to be part of the victory. God help us today to say that that is not going to happen on my watch. I'm going to make sure of it. These altars are available this morning. They need to be filled with God's children, crying out to Him, saying, Lord, forgive me for my apathy. Forgive me of my indifference. Forgive me of my pride and all that stuff that's in my heart and all that stuff that's in my life. God, help me today to be part of the answer so that your church can thrive and reach Albuquerque, New Mexico with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you come as we have a verse of invitation? Let's ask God to help us today.